Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, we're going to talk about quadriceps muscles, balance in the knees. And this is huge when you're talking about normal knee function. Quad means four. You got four muscles in there. Vastus lateralis is on the outside. Vastus medialis is on the inside. Then you got rectus femoris, which is right smack dab in the middle. And so when you look at this, and that all these muscles attach to that patellar tendon. And the vastus lateralis and medialis guide that patella every time you're walking. So it's important that you check for the nerves that supply this. And this is why every time you've got to look for subluxation patterns at L2, L3, L4, but mainly L3 supplies the knee. All four of the quadricep muscles attach to that patellar tendon. And once you've corrected the lumbar, you got to assess how the patella is tracking. But also when you're looking at the lumbar, you got to look at any thoracic deviations, forward head carriage, because this can all change the force loading of that lumbar. And then you have to look at the pelvic function, because if you do have a lumbar issue, you may have an alteration in gait, and that can lead to pelvic insufficiency. So let's look at this, and this is hugely important, particularly when you're checking it. You have to look at this. Now, behind that patella are a huge number of structures, but that patella is supposed to line up in this groove. Now, vastus medialis or lateralis have an abnormal tone, like either an increased or decreased tone. That means that the tracking is going to be off of that that groove where the patella is supposed to slide. Now, when you're checking this, you never want to push the patella into the joint, because there is a huge number of structures in there. And particularly when a knee that's been sore, there's going to be some tissue damage, and that's going to create inflammation. Inflammation is not a problem. Inflammation has to occur from tissue damage. And tissue damage will create swelling, and that's the body doing everything it can to repair. But you've got to be really aware that under any type of damage to the knee, that it's going to be sensitive. Now, the patellar tracking generally, and I'm talking 99% of the time, involves vastus lateralis and medialis. But you have to be extremely aware of the force loading you're doing, because when you're assessing this, if you're pushing that patella into the knee joint, when any type of inflammatory process or degeneration is present, it can be, let's say, exquisitely tender. Yeah, you don't want to do that. So performing the assessment improperly, you'll cause a great deal of discomfort without any therapeutic benefit. So you've got to apply a gentle and consistent pressure to assess the medial aspect, just medial to lateral in an oblique fashion, just to see if that causes discomfort or no discomfort. And what you'll see is people are going to be very, very apprehensive. And a little bit of discomfort is common. If they're jumping around like they're a fish on a hot plate, okay, you know that's extreme. Because that vastus medialis, if that's weak and you're pushing from the medial or the inner portion of the thigh outer, and you're pushing it in an inferior from the top of the thigh down towards the foot at a slight oblique angle, if the vastus medialis is weak, it's going to allow you to push it too far, and that will cause discomfort. So we know the vastus medialis is weak. If you put from the lateral aspect towards the medial in top to bottom direction, that could mean that the vastus lateralis is weak. And almost every patient will say, this feels strange. But if they express discomfort, and I mean, they're going to, okay, that, you know, maybe just a normal response. But if they're going, okay, and you're only pushing a little bit of force loading and you're not pushing down that patella, you're literally just stretching that vastus medialis, then that is a positive sign that the vastus medialis is weak. And this indicates to assess vastus lateralis, you contact on the upper portion outside aspect of the patella, and apply pressure, and you're only applying maybe 1 pound of pressure, maybe 2 pounds of pressure, but you cannot push in an oblique fashion on the knee, going superior to inferior. And you slowly increase the pressure. You don't want to pull it down. Slowly increase the pressure. Make sure that you're putting it lateral to medial on vastus lateralis, and do not push down. If there's mild discomfort, that's not an indication that vastus lateralis is weak. But it's a good way to start the assessment, to start with the asymptomatic leg. That means, you know, what I ask my patients, I'll say, okay, which one's the best knee? Not which one's the worst knee. So this changes, because that'll be a pattern interrupt, because they've always been taught about the knee that has the symptom as being the knee that's involved. Let me tell you, you got to look at the whole body, because if one knee is involved, your entire body weight's going to shift over to the other side, and that's going to cause that one to work under an abnormal force loading, which is going to indicate that, you got to fix both knees. I tell patients all the time, you could have a one knee symptom, but never a one knee problem. You have to look at both, but always start with the asymptomatic leg first, or the best knee first. And this is what it looks like. You'll see I'm supporting the tibia with my hand to make sure I'm not moving the whole leg, and I'm just isolating that with a very, very gentle pressure. Checking vastus medialis, you're going from the inner portion of the leg out, and you're applying a pressure at an oblique angle, stretching that vastus medialis. And on vastus lateralis, you'll see I'm just using my fingertip, so it's only 1 to 2 pounds of pressure, to just assess that. And it's just very, very gentle pressure. And if it causes significant discomfort, then we know that there's an imbalance of those. Now, to correct this, it's very important that the patient's seated in a tall chair or table so that the legs are dangling, not touching the ground. Now, some doctors use ankle weights during the exercise. I don't think this is necessary at all, because we're working with the muscles. We don't need to cause a distraction in the knee joint. Plus, if that knee has a dysfunction, using a weight, you're going to be pushing it beyond. And vastus lateralis, so the correction of this, the weak vastus lateralis, have the patient lift their leg from a 90-degree position to full extension, but with the foot internally or externally rotated. Vastus lateralis, your foot's going to be turned inward, okay, and then you're going to extend it up, because that works the vastus lateralis. Vastus medialis, it's going to be turned outward, so you're isolating the vastus medialis, and then it's going to be put in an extension. Now, this is an asymmetrical exercise, and you do not want to over-strengthen the muscle that was weak. This is another reason why I don't recommend ankle weights during this exercise. And so for weak vastus medialis, your foot's going to be turned out, and this is going to stretch that vastus medialis. So when you're putting it under extension, it's going to be under a greater force loading than the vastus lateralis. Same thing, vastus lateralis, you're turning your foot in, and then you're extending your leg. That activates the vastus lateralis more than the vastus medialis, and that will start to reset or change that patellar tracking. Now, for a weak vastus medialis, definitely have the patient externally rotate or moving it out, and the patient will extend their legs in the same cross crawl fashion. So if you have good tracking of a patella, your foot will be in a neutral position on the leg with the good tracking. Whether it's vastus medialis, it'll be turned inward while you're doing the full extension, and you always want to do cross crawl. If vastus medialis is off, you're going to turn that foot outward of the affected leg, leave the unaffected leg in a neutral position, then extend them all out to 90 degrees. Make sure you reassess. And plus, it's very exciting for the patient to see direct progress, and it gives the patient a win and empowers the patient. So bring it out in a full extension. And this is incredible. Now, typically, as long as you're assessing the lumbar and the pelvis, this will correct a patellar imbalance very, very quickly. And I'm talking within 1 to 3 weeks. Now, the cross crawl exercise also, because remember, you have to change how the brain views the body so you can change the gait. Doing this cross crawl exercises will help the brain get more information through proprioceptor, through all those mechanoreceptors in all of the joints to get that. That's why it's important to do that cross crawl. Perform this exercise for 3 to 10 minutes daily for about 1 to 2 weeks, and make sure that the patellar tracking assessment is done to monitor the progress. As long as you're correcting the subluxations that cause the muscle imbalance in the first place, that means you're assessing the lumbar, thoracic deviations to assess the lumbar force loading, pelvic insufficiencies, and then also don't forget to restore the biomechanics of the foot, flexibility to the calf, so you've got good dorsiflexion of that foot. In 1 to 2 weeks, you can correct the problem. Just make sure that you're continually reassessing, because you do not want to overcorrect it. It's not, you know, it's not like crossing streams and Ghostbusters where everything explodes. It's literally, you know, you can correct it, but, you know, once it's corrected, it's corrected. You don't need to overcorrect it. So the keys to healing, when we talk about proper nerve supply, this is what we mean. It's proper nerve supply, not only the automatic nervous system of the sympathetic and parasympathetic, or the fight or flight and rest and digest, that is essential, but it's also the direct or peripheral nerve supply of the nerves that supply those muscles, supply the knee and the foot and the biomechanics. So you've got to assess the entire structure. Regular exercise is essential. Proper, and this is for brain function and body function. The way joints work is the more you use them, the better they are, as long as they have appropriate biomechanics. And then proper nutrition, this means if man makes it, you don't eat it. You know, eat the same way your great-great-grandparents ate. You know, organic, healthy, you know, free from preservatives, varied. Sufficient rest. Rest is when the body regenerates. And then prayer and meditation. Absolutely. Every study out there that shows when you add prayer, healing occurs more rapidly. If you don't have an awareness that God built the world, beautiful meditation. Okay. I've got a knowing that the world was designed for you and you were designed for the world. And it gives me comfort and joy to have a relationship with God. And God bless you all. Know your body is self-healing and self-regulating, and it gives symptoms for a reason. God bless you all. Now, make sure you put your questions below this video, and we're going to pick as many as we can. And know your body is self-healing and self-regulating. God bless you all. Keep healing, my friends.